Good afternoon, everybody. This is Charles. Welcome to our Tuesday afternoon webinar. Eddie won't be joining us today. Eddie's traveling this afternoon, so we're going to miss Eddie today, but we've got Matt here today running our board. Matt, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing good. How's your weather there in Denver?
It's getting up to 60. It's going to be that way all the way till next Wednesday, so beautiful.
Well, you've got to be enjoying that, just like we're enjoying the Texas weather. So we got a lot of content today we're going to cover, but before we get started today, I want to introduce our guest of the week here. We're going to know y'all heard Vicki and Alex on our calls before from ProTitle, and today we're going to talk a little bit more about some due diligence. And so today we have Vicki Baldwin and Alex Goldowski with us. Gentlemen, how are you?
Wonderful.
Well, we appreciate y'all taking time this afternoon again to join us this afternoon, and so we'll just jump right into your presentation, and we appreciate you being here.
So sounds good. This is Alex. Again, I wanted to thank everybody who is attending this webinar, and thanks again for inviting us over to discuss some of the issues that we see out there during the title due diligence. Just a quick slide to remind everybody that we are the title due diligence firm. We do title reports and O&E reports nationwide, both commercial and residential. We have first lien, second lien products, and if you don't know anything about us, certainly contact me or Dickie directly, and we'll be happy to let you know what we do for you. Go ahead and next slide, please. So this is a very, very busy slide that I wanted to flash in front of everybody. And if you haven't seen our dashboard, this is just a small snippet of what we do for Note School and Colonial Funding. We analyze the portfolios of assets from the title due diligence perspective, and we have a number of ways where we alert you as the investor or you as the reviewer on a number of issues that we see on an asset by asset basis. And based on the feedback that we receive from everybody, the best thing issues is number one concern for a lot of investors. What does that mean? If I receive that alert from the title report, or if I receive that alert from the dashboard, what do I do? What does it mean to me? And how do I address it? So for the most part, when we say besting issue on the NPN pool or on a note or a mortgage that you're buying, it really means that we raise the flag that the borrower on a data tape or loan tape is not the same as the current owner of the property. And you really have to ask yourself a question, what happened? Is my mortgage still enforceable? Can I still enforce my mortgage against the property, or I completely lost any secured interest to the property based on the ownership change? So I wanted to explain the categories that our clients typically bucket those cases, and we will go one by one and touch on each case individually and what it means to you. So next slide, please. All right, so really there are four categories or four groups of the vesting issues. And this is the most severe one, right? So we have a severe defects. I call the unresolved defects, which you'll see on the next slide, informational defects and non-issue defects. And we'll dive into one of each four categories separately. So let's look at the slide called vesting issues severe title. So first of all, severe title defect means that the mortgage is pretty much wiped off. It's a very, very little chance to recover enforceability of the mortgage when one of those events that are listed on the slide happen. So example, real estate property tax deed. You should know that there are two types of tax deeds, redeemable and non-redeemable, okay? So if it's a non-redeemable state for the tax deed, you lost any and all interests, secured interests in the property. If this is a redeemable state, Louisiana, North Dakota, and so on, and the redemption time did not expire, you can still recover your enforceability of the mortgage. Okay, so if you don't know which state belongs to redeemable versus non-redeemable, you can go ahead and contact me or Dickie, and we'll send you the tables showing the time to redeem per state, as well as states that are non-redeemable. And the tax deed is a final transfer of the property from the treasurer for unpaid taxes. Let's see. Another severe defect is origination title, mortgage signatory defects. Example, let's say husband and wife owns the property. The mortgage, for whatever reason, is signed only by one party, husband or wife. Or there's a power of attorney missing. In other words, wife signed for husband, but without filing power of attorney. And husband can come back and dispute that he did not agree to sign on the mortgage. Or there's no notary stamp. So in other words, both signers might say, hey, I didn't sign the mortgage. And there's no way to prove without the notary stamp that there was a witness on the signature. So those are defects that are supposed to be covered by a title policy, but at the same time, they can happen. And if no title policy was issued at the time of the mortgage, you have issues with enforceability of the mortgage. Prior mortgage lien foreclosures. That's another one that's supposedly would be covered by a title policy. In very few cases, we've seen that the prior unreleased mortgage forecloses on the property ahead of the subject mortgage. Even though you think you're buying the first position lien, if we report to you that there are unreleased mortgages, that's always the danger. Okay, so if you see the title was transferred from the foreclosure on the prior lien or a mortgage, the enforceability of the mortgage is wiped off the property. Subject mortgage wiped off the property. Nevada HOA lien foreclosures. So whenever you see the state Nevada and there's an HOA foreclosure lien, the mortgage is wiped off. Okay, so that's based on a recent court ruling that HOA supersede the mortgage and wipes off the mortgage completely. Okay, subject mortgage foreclosure. So this is an interesting one. You would think that buying the property or buying an asset pool, and one of your exit strategy for the asset pool would be an REO or third party sale, TPS, that would be a benefit to you. Well, not really. Why? Because you really don't have any control on timing when the property is sold to the next chain in the chain of title. So when you think you buy an interest, A, you can't show that the interest was purchased in that particular note, and therefore you own the proceeds of the REO sale or third-party sale. You don't control any timing, and you're not covered by reps and warrants. So in our experience, all the large note buyers kick back any assets in a note sale, that's a key word, a note sale, that are already in the REO or investor-owned property group. Same applies for mortgages that are executed the deed in lieu of foreclosure with the borrower, and at the same time you have you're not covered by reps and warrants, you don't control the timing, you don't know how to claim the proceeds. It's the same category as the REO. And finally, a very severe defect when the borrower is not in the chain of title. So when we generate a dashboard and we just don't show the borrower anywhere taking the property ownership, it can mean many things. One of the examples, the deed was never recorded, or the deed is rejected by the recorder at the time of recording the mortgage and the deed. So the borrower does not appear in the chain of title, and now we have an issue where you have no proof that the borrower owns the property, and therefore you can enforce the mortgage. Okay, so those are very common vesting issues that are very serious. Some of them have no recourse action to recover the mortgage, and only in few cases you have a very limited time, or in the case of the tax deeds in the redeemable space, to recover the defect. Go ahead, next slide. So the next group, as I mentioned, I would call unresolved. Okay, so what does that mean? We still have the mortgage. It's still enforceable, but there are other things clouding the title. For example, very famous in Florida, when Florida HOA forecloses on the property, the certificate of title is issued at the same time as the first position mortgage foreclosure. So right now you have two certificate of titles recorded on the same chain, which means it's an unresolved vesting status. We don't know who owns the property, and one of the certificate of titles have to be, you have to execute rescission of that document and reinstate the lien or the mortgage, okay, to make sure that the title chain will get cleared. The same would be subordinate mortgage foreclosures, right? So when the second mortgage forecloses out of position for the investment purposes, okay, for example, second position mortgage tried to contact the first position lender, and there was unresponsive first position lender, and therefore the decision of the second position mortgage holder is, hey, let me foreclose on the property. If nobody will object, I will own the property, I'll rent it out, and I'll stretch down time in court while the first position is getting around to foreclose. And the more time I stretch in the court during the foreclosure process, the more time I have to collect the rent. Okay, so we've seen quite a bit of those strategies from the second position lien holders. Now, bankruptcy transfers. So as everybody should know, in bankruptcy, once the borrower files the bankruptcy estate is formed, is similar to fictitious name, and the trustee of that estate has a power to transfer the ownership of the property to cover the debt. So if lender, for example, is not represented at the bankruptcy proceedings, or the appeal time to appeal the transfer expires and the trustee has all rights to transfer the property, that's what happens. In some cases, we've seen that the parcels that are covered by the mortgage have been split or sold off. So it becomes a very, very difficult to collect on all the parcels that are now subdivided and exist in the different chains of title. So either the proper partial releases were not filed, or the party that was buying parcels were not doing the title reports or title insurance, and it becomes very hard to collect a partial sell-offs of the property covered by that mortgage. Next slide, please. Okay. The next group is information. So what does that mean? It means that the mortgage is completely enforceable. And there's some explanation why the borrower's name is not matching the current owner's name on the title. So very common examples are estate transfers to heirs, transfers to private parties, LLCs, properties of co-op, okay? Very common in New York and New Jersey, where the owner is the co-op association and not the borrower, and the only thing that is filed in the county records is the UCC. Whenever you have the additions to the parcel or sell-off of the parcel that is covered by the mortgage, whenever you have the mortgage foreclosure and then rescission of the foreclosure, the name on the title may appear as the foreclosing party. In fact, It is not. The foreclosure deed was removed from the consideration, but it's still in the county records. And then finally, there's non-standard title transfers that you guys are experts with, land contracts, contracts for deeds, wraparound mortgage transfers, and so on. Okay? And then, of course, non-issues whenever you have interfamily deed transfers, when the interfamily members don't have the same last names, whenever the borrower transfers the property into trusts and trust doesn't carry any part of the last name, name changes or addition of heirs, interests, and additional owners. So those are the four groups that I wanted to cover with you from the perspective of vesting issues that you will see from the title analysis. And some are severe, some are not, but that would be your title exam or your explanation on what do you see in the title report and why we're failing specific tests that will raise a red flag and say, hey, you know, the borrower's name is not matching to the current owner. It's a red flag for you, but the next step would be to group it in the right category to really understand whether or not my mortgage that I'm buying is enforceable or it's already wiped off and lost. Okay, so one more slide I wanted to show you on how the whole puzzle fits together from our perspective. So you see this large red square is something that we provide. We provide O&E reports, and for Colonial and Note School, we provide the additional analysis, which is kind of highlighted here, and it says free. And first box out of that free square says automated vesting issue validation and client alert. So our job is to alert you as an investor that we see a mismatch in the name of the borrower on the loan tape versus the owner in the chain of title. And the box that we call due diligence final review is something that you as an investor would apply these groups to that we just covered to find out if the vesting issues are serious or not. Okay, so that's what I wanted to cover with everybody today. Let me know if you have any questions.
All right. Matt, do we have any questions on the board yet? Or anybody have their hand raised?
I don't see anyone on the board as of yet. So, guys, if you do have a question when I ask Alex or Dickie a question, go ahead and raise your hand or put it into the board. We've got a few minutes that we can answer open questions. Other than that, Robin was asking about posting the table to the website, so I'm sure we can do that and get that done here soon. Tim asks exactly what service is being sold and what is the price. And I guess this is Alex, and I don't mean to interject, but Tim, about I think 2 weeks ago or maybe a month ago, we put together a survey on the call of what were the issues that everyone was seeing most prominently. And title vesting issues was one of the primary things that everyone said was something that they wanted to learn more about. But Alex, sorry to interject, but go ahead.
Oh, the service, we have a special for a Note School. Dickie, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that the O&E report fee is $85 flat. Right. And then for the bulk purchases of the pool notes, we provide the dashboard at no cost when it's above. And Dickie, again, I don't remember what we consider. I think about 50 files. So in other words, we're
correct. It was
right.
And we order most, I mean, order all of our titles are now being provided by Pro Title. So on all of our newer acquisitions here probably in the last 90 days, I know for sure, Pro Title provides those title reports. So when we're sending out a due diligence file, normally you're going to see a Pro Title. Maybe some other ones that may be little older assets or there'll be different titles. But the ONEs we currently provide are provided through Pro Title. Now, one of the biggest things people wanted to know about was the vesting, you know, and that is a red flag when you're looking at title. Alex, as you know, a lot of our properties we sell and a lot of the acquisitions we acquire are land contracts, and a lot of those are unrecorded land contracts. So sometimes that can kind of throw somebody off because the vesting's not in the borrower's name. Because those land contracts are recorded. So, you know, keep that in mind when you're looking at these. That is a red flag, the vesting, but not always will the borrower be entitled because those land contracts have not been recorded.
That's correct, yeah.
Matt, what else we got? Any more questions? So,
everybody, the flow chart that is on this presentation is in your handouts. That's under the handout tab. You can go ahead and download it along with the syllabus and the handout. That's at the last page on that if you wanted to have that for your records. But one of the questions was, is real quick, Brian was asking, could you go back over the items on the due diligence flow chart? There are a lot of things there. So I'm going to jump back down to the flow chart real quick.
Absolutely. And my goal was not to confuse everybody, but it's a standard flow chart that is used by a tier one players that are very heavy on this market. And on this flow chart, we are not just a standard O&E provider. Okay, we do much more than providing just a standard O&E reports. So we execute all the ONEs in parallel, those are green errors, together with tax certs. We consolidate all the ONEs into a common data abstract layer for our analysis. We do a quality control on each ONE, and also we do a quality control on this dashboard that we deliver to Colonial Funding. As a part of our QC review, we analyze the vesting issues, we analyze the position of the lien, we analyze the taxes, lien partitioning, the assignment breaks. So it's a very, very comprehensive analysis. In fact, the common data abstract layer, it's a 1,600 field data analysis, okay, per asset. So you can imagine how much effort we put in to build up this system. And then what you see at the end is the dashboard that we deliver to Colonial Funding, for example. Now, there are three separate flows, and I apologize. Can you go back to the flow chart?
Yes, I was actually having to load it. I thought it was loaded, and it wasn't, so it's all uploaded now, everybody, and I'm opening it back up. Sorry about that.
No worries. Okay, so on the flow chart, you see three separate, once we get there, I'll be able to describe it further. Okay, good. So three separate boxes, all right? One is called the diligence final review, assignment review, and collateral review. You as an investor have to do all three at the same time. Okay, so due diligence review would be taking the dashboard, taking our title report, and reviewing that everything you understand correctly makes sense, you understand all the red flags. You evaluate the risk. You do a pushback of assets, as I described, that are lost, tax sale, foreclosure, or what have you. You can use the dashboard to auto-calculate the exit strategies. For example, one asset may be an ideal for deed-in-lieu foreclosure or short sale. Another asset, there's no way but to foreclose on the property to wipe off all the civil judgments. Okay. Budgetary planning, we provide an amount of cost that will be involved in curing the tidal. At the same time, we can provide the annual tax amounts. So in other words, you can budget the tax for the whole pool, annual tax that you'll have to pay up next year. And of course, a lot of folks, pretty much all folks, use our dashboards for seller negotiation. The second box is the assignment review. So here it's really involved in analyzing every chain of the assignment link. And if you have any assignment breaks, we will flag it. And then the question is, who's going to fix it? Either the seller or the buyer, who has the signers, who can execute on the assignment curative work, and so on. So it's very important box that takes a very long time. And the third one is collateral review. So in other words, when we deliver all the reports to you as an investor, you will have an access to the collateral package for the portfolio. So title policies, assignments, images, and so on. And you may have the collateral exception report, or you may apply the dashboard that we provide, assignment breaks that we provide, to the exception report or your own exception report to say, well, all right, you are telling me, ProTitle USA, that there are two unreleased mortgages prior to my first position mortgage. I have a title policy that tells me that it's a first position mortgage and those two mortgages should have been released as a part of the new mortgage filing. Can you please look at the release? And you see that every box has the feedback going back to ProTitle USA. So here for we allow for some room to double check any things that are uncovered during the review cycle. Okay, another very common example. As you know, assignments are not always recorded correctly. Many cases they're recorded by lenders' names, which makes it impossible for us to find it in the county records. So you may have a recorded image of the assignment as a part of the collateral images. And you say, well, I do have a recorded assignment. I want to confirm before I start the curative action on my assignment chain that this assignment is indeed recorded in the correct county. And you would send us this assignment image and we will say, oh yeah, it's recorded, but it's misrecorded, and therefore you don't see it on the title report. Okay, so these things happen. And just to give you an example, out of 2,000 files that we just ran, I think the assignments were about 100 of those files where they are recorded and they're part of the collateral package. We didn't report it, and on all 100 of them, we figured out that it was either recorded by wrong legal, it was misrecorded in the wrong county, or it's recorded by lender's name. Therefore, we were not being able to provide that as a part of the title report initially. But we did confirm that all of those hundreds are recorded in the county. I hope that makes sense.
All right, a couple of things, and kind of just to round it out here. Charles, someone asked if the dashboard for the particular loans that they are looking at are going to be in the future included in the due diligence files, and could you tell us why or why not that might or might not happen?
The dashboard, no, for time being, eventually we may put that in our due diligence files. Currently, you've just got the title, you've got the title report in the due diligence file. And that's what, I mean, that's, we don't have the dashboard set up to where we can actually drop that in the due diligence, correct, Matt?
As I understand it right now, no, but I mean, if it became something in the future, we'd have to talk about that, but
yeah.
Yeah.
And going forward, we may look at, you know, executing that, but currently we don't have that, so currently you'll just have the title report in your due diligence file.
Also, the other question, another question that came in was going towards how do they contact, who do they contact, and if the person that they contacted, do they need to make sure that they note to that person that they are with Note School? Before I pass that off to y'all, if you go to the resource tab, go to your vendors, go halfway down, you'll see the pro title, and then when you click on that, you'll actually see Erica and her email as well as phone number here. So, guys, is there another way that they need to contact or who they need to contact and say, hey, I'm with Note School? How does that work?
I think you just described it. If you email Eric and say, I'm with Note School, the office staff knows exact product that you guys are asking for. At the same time, they know exactly what price to put it at.
Perfect.
Pat, I'd like to interject real quick on that flow chart. You don't need to go back to it, but on the far right-hand side, there were some additional services that are available that are not part of the O&E report. It's such as demolition report, code violations, tax search. These are individual reports that are not recorded information, but we're able to obtain the information on behalf of your students. Illinois is a classic example of scheduling for a demolition and nobody knows it.
Okay.
All right. Charles, anything else? Or Alex, Vicki, y'all have anything else for us today? Or
I think we're all set. If anybody has any additional information, just give us a holler, either call us or email me or Dickie, and we'll be happy to respond to you. Again, that was only related to the first position mortgages. Certainly, I didn't touch on REOs or I didn't touch on second position liens. So those are handled completely differently, and we have a unique flow charts on how we process those orders as well.
And Alex and Dickie, we'd love to have you back on the call too again soon to discuss those flow charts as well. We'll put these up on the member site so the students will have access to those. But again, Alex, Dickie, we appreciate both of y'all taking time out of your afternoon to be on here. It's a great benefit for all of us to have you here, and we appreciate you being a partner with Note School.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure.
And Matthew, if it is of any help, please put my email address and phone number out to everyone, and I'll be glad to help them however I can.
Absolutely. I'll do that. All right. All right. So
what do we got now, Matt?
Okay, so next up.
Thank you, guys. And,
thanks, guys. Dickie, appreciate Dickie. It.
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all have a great day.
All right, Matt.
Yes.
So who we have next up first?
I'm sorry, say again.
So who we have up? Robin Jackson and Roman.
Robin and Roman. So, and Tim, I'm sorry, we're kind of pressed on time, so we're going to have them back on. If you have a question, reach out to either them or back out to us, and we'll get it to them, and we'll definitely get that question answered for you. So sorry about that. We're kind of just pressed on time, so we couldn't keep them on longer. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute Robin and see if Robin, you're good to go.
Okay. I don't know if Roman's on or not, but So, okay, good. Well, real quick, we bought this note together and felt like it was going to be, it's got a lot of liens on it, some tax liens and that sort of thing, but Roman feels like the value is truly there, and of course it's kind of in his backyard, so he's been able to drive by and keep tabs on it. But what's interesting is we sent out all the info, as you can see, for hello letter and all that good stuff, and tried to send just kind of a nice letter in December, or first of January rather, to say hello, you know, we're trying to make contact with you. And we don't really anticipate this borrower being able to get current or anything, because he's got a lot of child support liens and all kinds of stuff on there. But he sends back this response like, I don't know who you are, and you have no business, and you have, you know, dealing with my house and this and that. And then he sends another letter after we sent a response to him. I was trying to pull up this other letter. And he's denying that we have any claim at all, and he's filed it with the court and all this other stuff. So I was curious to see how you all would respond. In the meantime, I did talk to our foreclosure attorney, but I just wondered if that was, you know, if you all had run into this often. I've never had a borrower start trying to practice law like this. Usually they don't make any contact at all with you. I don't know if you've got that letter.
So Cleveland Asset Management is you, Robin?
Yeah, that's Roman and I,
Okay.
But you kind of see when you read through on the second page how he's he quotes all, you know, the Truth in Lending Act. He quotes persuading to this article such and such, and I mean, to be honest, it reminds me of someone in prison who's trying to study to get his law degree or something, because he comes up with all this stuff, and I was really kind of impressed that he took the time to do that, but he won't contact us directly.
So is the servicer servicing this, Robin?
No, it's a non-performing. There's no servicer.
Okay. So, and you've got an attorney involved in this, correct?
Yes, we started foreclosure in December.
All right. I'm curious to see what the attorney said. So he's either done a lot of research from internet, or his next door neighbor is an attorney trying to get him some legal advice. He really don't know what he's talking about. So basically what he's doing is he's demanding the original wet ink signature. So he's demanding the original promissory note.
Right.
Years ago, I had a judge that actually put in an order like this where he actually requested the original wet ink promissory note. He wanted to see the original, and I wouldn't send him my original because it's an easy way for originals to disappear unless you have an attorney that's going to hand deliver it and hang on to it.
Right.
So he's getting advice from somebody. He's written this letter basically saying you need to produce me the note. He would love for you to send him the original promissory note signed in wet ink so he could say he didn't get it and you don't have it. So
yeah.
If you don't have a promissory note, this goes back to, you know, lost note affidavits. We work with lost note affidavits all the time. And so if you didn't have the original, you could probably produce the lost note affidavit. But he's just using some legal advice that somebody has given him. It looks like an attorney wrote the letter, honestly. for somebody to be able to go back and get all of these volumes and case studies and numbers, somebody's written this for him, I think. And he signed off on it. I'm assuming he signed the bottom of this letter, Matt.
Yeah, that is his signature. It is.
That is his signature. So, yeah, somebody's wrote the letter for him, and he's just signed off on it. He's paid him to write the letter. He sent that. See, notice he's copied everybody he ever owed money to. Go back up a little bit, Matt.
Well, I'll tell you where on the certificate of service, that list that he got that from.
Uh-huh.
Those are all people that have liens against his property. Since we filed foreclosure, of course, he's gotten documentation. So he just copied those address. In fact, I bet if I went back and looked, I think he just cut and pasted because I think it's the same font as what our attorney had on the foreclosure.
It's a scare tactic, thinking a lot of people are just going to walk away. And it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see what your attorney says. The hello letter's been sent out. The goodbye letter's been sent out. You've got the title in your name or the assignment in your name, or in your company name. So he's just basically using a scare tactic here. And you know, I guess what really caught my eye was where it said, I want to see the wet ink copy of the note. Judges used to do that. they used to. A lot of judges would request a copy of that original note, and they said if you don't have that original copy, you didn't hold a lien on that property. But that's not true. There's still a mortgage on that property. Mm-hmm. And that was the one thing that really caught my eye, was because I've seen that particular language more than one time on properties. Do you have the original note on this, Robin?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, yeah. So, don't send it to him.
No, I wouldn't.
You can send a, he's demanding, I demand that you present for my visual inspection. I'm curious where he wants to meet you, at Starbucks? So you this note, because he thinks you're just going to put it in the mail and say, here you go.
Yeah, here we go. Right.
So tell him if he wants to drive to your local Starbucks, you will be happy to show him this original note.
Well, and I'll tell you, since we submitted this, and I did talk to our attorney this morning, and so he says actually he does have the right to see the original note. And he said it's not going to, the only thing it's going to do is, since we filed foreclosure, he said it could hold us up. He said they could kick it out and we'd have to start over again.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's not going to stop the foreclosure, but it could give you a setback.
It could give us a setback. Yeah.
And, but again, anybody can contest a foreclosure.
Sure, sure.
Not necessarily for the note. You can contest a foreclosure, and people can come up with the worst delay tactics to delay a foreclosure, and judges listen to that a lot of times.
Yeah.
A lot of it's going to depend on the judge and the court, and really how hard these people want to fight. If you've got someone that's bound and